In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are all, I take it, familiar with today's parable. You know, it's one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. The only one that could come close would be the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the unfortunate thing is, as much of my thought, it is tainted with movies. And during the biblical epic period during the last century, they started to scrape the bottom of what they were going to do. They'd already done the Ten Commandments, the greatest story ever told, Solomon and Sheba. And so some genius decided to do the parable of the prodigal son as a biblical epic. And so they had, you know, a handsome, you know, leading man guy playing the prodigal son, and he went off and he had all sorts of adventures and he led a revolution in a city, and then he came back home. Not at all what the parable of the prodigal son was about. Though it's a kind of a fun movie, so if you ever see it on TMC, you know, or TCM, go watch it. Really, you know, the parable of the prodigal son is really about a very snotty brat. Now think about it. Dad, I wish you were dead so I could have the stuff that's going to be mine. That's what he's saying. Give me the part of the inheritance which will come to me. And then you got the father who does it. You know, what's up with that? Then the son goes off to a distant country and he swallows up everything he has on dissolute living. The elder son is a little bit more blunt about it. Prostitutes. And one of the things that you need to realize about prostitution in the ancient Near East is that it wasn't just about sex. It was also about worship of pagan gods, because most of the prostitutes were what were called temple prostitutes. And it was part of the worship of false gods. And so you've got this snotty kid who blows through everything that he has, which is really not his, it was his father's. And then he's reduced to nothing. You know, sin is like that. We think sin, you know, when we sin, we think it's going to make us happy. And it may make us content in the short term, but inevitably it leads to self-destruction. You know, people will sometimes try to justify their sins by saying, well, I'm searching for my happiness, or this fulfills me, or I have a right to be happy. Whenever I hear that, I want to get out my 2x4, you know, the one that I've carved across in the end, and smack him upside the head. Because, well, it's you know, bring him a little pain now rather than a lot of pain later. Sin inevitably leads to destruction, even if you think it makes you happy and content now. And that's exactly what it did to him. You know, he blew through all of his savings on, you know, frivolous and sinful stuff. And then when a famine comes along, he doesn't have any money to buy food with. And so he ends up working in a pig farm, which is about the worst place a Jew could work. Why? Because the pigs are unclean. And so you see his uncleanliness brought to the fore. Now you would think at this point he would realize, you know, I have really sinned, I've blown it, I'm going to go back to Dad and ask for his forgiveness. No, what he's thinking about is his belly. If I go home and work for my dad, I will have enough to eat. Well, God sometimes takes even dishonorable motives and uses them as the beginning of getting us back. When he sees his father, that's what he has in mind when he makes his fine little speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be your son. Hire me so I have something to eat. But I think it is the reaction of the father that changes things, or doesn't. We really don't ever know whether the prodigal son ever truly repented. We do know about the generosity of his father. His father says, you are dead and you are now alive. You're my son. We're going to have a big party. Welcome home. You know, when most people hear this parable, they put themselves in the place of the prodigal son, you know, because we're all sinners. And yet, What Jesus wanted the listeners, the person that Jesus identified the listeners with, was not the prodigal son. It was the older son. The one who said, hey, look, this bozo gets to come back like nothing happened. I'm not going to party. The father is forgiving, but the elder son is not, because the elder son thinks he has earned more than his brother by being obedient. And yet, is the elder son's motivation really any that much better than the younger son? The elder son seems to be thinking, well, I've earned your stuff by being obedient. Not because I'm not obedient because I love you, because this is, you know, what is right. Because I will get what is mine. You know, I've been obedient. I want a kid to celebrate with my friends. Now, is that really that much better than the younger son? Why did Jesus tell this parable to begin with? Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, oftentimes when people these days bring this up, they say, well, that means you should never say that anyone did anything wrong because Jesus ate with sinners. You know, we should just accept everything and everybody. You know, we've got the serial killer. Let's let him serial kill, because who are we to judge? It doesn't matter if someone's divorced and remarried. They can come to communion. You know, you hear all of this nonsense constantly, and people use this parable to justify it, and that is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, how am I going to call someone to repentance if I don't eat and drink with them? No one ever won a soul for Christ by being mean and a jerk. Now, sometimes you have to be strong with someone, but there's a big difference between being mean and a jerk. And yeah, the words I want to say are a little different, but we're in church. We call people to repentance. That is what's going on. Not accepting them where they are, but calling them to return to where they should be. Why? Because we love them. Just as the father loves his younger son, even though he's a brat. Those of you who have kids know this. You love your kids even when they're brats. And you want them to turn from bratdom and become good again. That's what God wants. And really, were the Pharisees and the scribes that much different from the tax collectors and sinners? Tax collectors and sinners recognized their own sinfulness. The Pharisees and scribes didn't. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.